All right. Hey, guys. What's up? How you doing, Wake? There you go. Good. Guys, if we haven't met yet, thanks. My name is Reed. I get to serve on our students' team. Hey, let's give a quick round of applause for Watermark Waves. How was that? And for Luke Barlow, the game today, that was a blast, too. Give it up for Luke. Love it. Love it. Hey, guys. Well, like I said, my name is Reed. I got a question for you. Who likes the beach? Raise your hand if you like the beach. Well, guys, summer is coming up. Who has plans this summer to go to the beach at some point this summer? I like it, like it, like it. Well, raise your hand. Thank you. Raise your hand if you like at the beach, if you like playing in the waves, going out in the water, playing in the water. Okay, good. Raise your hand if you like sunbathing, sitting out, getting some tan, getting nice and dark. Yeah. Good. I know you do, Jeff. Raise your hand if you like to build sandcastles. Building some sandcastles, like that kind of stuff. Raise your hand if you like to play spike ball on the beach. Any of you guys, I know some athletes in here. Awesome. Now, last one. Raise your hand if you like to do what I used to do when I was your age on the beach. That's exactly right. Dig a hole. That's right. Absolutely. Who said that over here? There you go. Nice. When I was your age, when I was in middle school, when we would go to the beach, we would go to Seaside, Florida, and the first thing I would do when we were there, yeah, you too, when I was there, we would dig a deep hole, okay? That's all we would do, just dig a hole. You had to find some kind of activity, so we would dig a hole. We could bury ourselves in it. We could, you know, fill it with water. You could do whatever. You could leave a trap, whatever you wanted to do. Or the best part, though, the fun of it was just digging the hole, okay? But I want to tell you a story about a specific time. I had a best friend named Matthew, and Matthew and I, at one time, we were down in Seaside, and we were digging a hole. We were both digging two different holes together, okay? So I was on one side, he was on the other side. We were right next to each other, and we started digging these holes. And we got to about kind of waist deep, about right here, and we were continuing to, this is when it gets really hard, if you know anything about digging holes in the sand, okay? This is when it gets really hard, the sand starts to get tough, water starts to get into it, you're putting all your effort into it, okay? And at this point, I started to realize I would take sand, and I would take it out of the hole and go back down, and there would be new sand in the spot that I had just taken sand out of. And so I did this for about, you know, what felt like an hour, but it was probably 10 minutes. But I was continuing to take sand out and out, and I was staying at the same level. It was not getting any deeper. We were working so hard, but we were getting nowhere, okay? And then I realized that I was digging sand, and I was taking it out, and I was throwing it out of that hole that I was in, and I was throwing it into Matthew's area, my buddy. I was putting it in his, he was putting his in mine. We were getting nowhere. We were digging sand out and we were putting it in each other's space. And we were continuing to dig the same sand over and over again. It was ridiculous. Finally, we looked up and we realized we were both doing this, okay? And so what we decided to do instead is we turned to each other and we said, why are we digging two different ones when we should just dig one? And so we tore down the wall in between us. And then my parents got this picture of us. This is me in middle school. This is me and Matthew. We dug the hole together, and if you notice, you can't see the top of the hole. It is a deep hole. There is shade because it was so deep. We were able to sit inside of it and that kind of stuff. You can take that down. But the reason I tell you this story, the reason I want to start with this is today we are talking about conflict. We're doing a series called We Over Me, What It Looks Like to Live in Community with People Around Us. And so we're talking about conflict because conflict always comes up, always, no matter who you are. The reason I start with this story is because conflict can feel like this story, that you can be working really, really hard and getting absolutely nowhere. And when conflict goes unresolved, it can feel like you are digging a hole and not moving. That what you want to accomplish with the relationship around you is getting nowhere. And you are stuck in a place that is not fun, that is really hard, you're in the same place over and over again. And you feel like you're doing the same thing over and over again. You're trying to avoid something, but there is a deep, deep issue. And so what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about conflict and how to resolve conflict in your relationships, your friendships, and your family. Okay? And so what I want to help you do to remember that, I'm going to give you 2 points to remember. It's going to be super easy. So if you're taking notes, which I heard some pens out there, and I'm really glad you're taking notes, not because I have something to say, but because God's word has something to say. 2 things. First one is forgiven, and the second one is freedom. Okay? But the first one, you are forgiven and free. And so to help illustrate this, I want to share with you a story from God's word. So if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to read with you a story about someone who did not realize they were forgiven. Okay? So in chapter 18, verses 23, there is a story that Jesus tells about an unforgiving servant. Okay? So we're going to read this story. And we're talking about being forgiven. So in verse 23, we're going to start there. It says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to that to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And he began to settle. One was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents." So he owed the king a ton of money. It was an unpayable debt. It was so, so much. 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, the master ordered him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that they had for payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him of his debt. So he said, "You've got this massive debt that you cannot pay. You can't do it." And he says, "Please be patient with me. I will pay you." And he had pity on him. And he says, "You know what? You don't have to pay it. You're forgiven of this debt. The debt is no more. You are forgiven. Be free and go. You have nothing to worry about." It's a huge weight lifted off of his back. And so what happens is, so he went, that same servant went out and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Not 10,000, just 100. Just a little bit, not as much. Seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay me what you owe me." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, I will pay you." He says the same thing that this servant said to the master. He said, "Have patience with me, I will pay you." And he refused, and he went out and put him in prison until he should pay his debt. So he did not have the same mercy that the master had on him. And so he put him in jail. And his fellow servants saw what had taken place, and they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. And his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had the same mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all of his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do it to every one of you who do not forgive your brother with your heart. So the point of this story that Jesus tells is he is telling us, as we think about forgiving those around us, we have to first recognize that we have been forgiven much. Amen. That's right. The first thing I want to talk about today is understanding, first and foremost, that you have been forgiven. A lot of times in our own lives, in our hearts, in our families, when we look at our families and our relationship with our friends, we can kind of be a little bit timid and scared to forgive or to ask for forgiveness. And so I want you to first realize this, that even though we have done a ton and we are unworthy of forgiveness, first understanding the weight of our sin, that we are unworthy of forgiveness, but God in his goodness and kindness has forgiven us a debt that we could not pay. That's the gospel. We have been forgiven of a debt that we cannot pay. It's impossible for us to pay that debt. And because of that truth, we have a freedom to forgive those around us that have hurt us, that wronged us, that do not deserve your forgiveness, that it feels like they don't deserve your forgiveness, that you have the freedom to forgive them because you have been forgiven so much. And so we start there, that our first in conflict is that understanding that you have been forgiven. Okay, Ephesians 4:31 through 33 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So he says, be kind, be tenderhearted, and forgive because you have been forgiven. And that's where we start. And the second point is freedom, that you are free. You are free to forgive. There is freedom that comes when you forgive, when you resolve conflict, because when there is peace among you and your friends, when you live at peace with all people, there is a great freedom. There is a weight that is lifted off your shoulders in that. Some of us today, some of us in our lives, I think, can believe that we live for drama. We eat it up, and it's good. That it's good TV to have drama. Okay, some of us feel like we can live for drama, that we love stirring up drama. And to be honest with you, there is a deep sickness there. There is a pain in that, that it leads to what we talked about in our story, that it leads to doing a lot of work and getting absolutely nowhere. There's a lot of insecurity in that. There's a lot of hurt and pain in that. And what it can look like for our lives, even as you grow up older, is you can do a lot of work and be stirred up a ton in your anger and your emotions and do a lot of work and go through a lot of pain and get nowhere. And I want you to know, with resolving conflict, with walking in freedom in that, there is a huge weight that is lifted off your shoulders when you live at peace with all people, that God has designed us to live at peace with the people around us. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about freedom and what the Bible says about it. There's a lot of Proverbs, and so I want to share with you a couple of quick Proverbs just to share with you the truth of the freedom when it comes with our words, when we are kind, when we are tenderhearted, when we forgive one another, when we bless each other with our words, there is freedom in that. And let me show you. So Proverbs 12:18, real quick, follow along with me. There is one whose rash words are like swords thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 16:24 says, gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Proverbs 17:22, it says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perversiveness in it breaks the spirit. Luke 6:45 says this, says a good person out of the good treasure of their heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. What comes out of your mouth comes from your heart. When there is freedom in your heart, freedom can come out of your mouth. When there is love in your heart, love comes out of your mouth. When there is bitterness and anger in your heart, there is grief, that's what comes out of your mouth. And so if you're worried about the things that are coming out of your mouth, the things that you're speaking to your friends and your family and your neighbor, if those are not good things, we need to take a look first at what's in our heart. Are you bringing grief and anger to your friends around you? Are you hurting the relationships in your life because there is a hurt deep down inside of you that you need to resolve? So I want you to remember, one, you have been forgiven much. But although we are not worthy of forgiveness, God has given us a great forgiveness. And two, you have the freedom to bring freedom to those around you. That there is freedom in living at peace with all people. And so what do we do next? What's our next step in this? There's two things. What do? It's forgive and make amends. The forgiveness, the definition that we've given for this, forgiveness is the decision to trust God with justice and vengeance. That forgiveness is between us and God. Okay? And so for us in our lives, forgiveness is trusting God that if there's someone that has hurt us, it's trusting God that the vengeance of that, that the justice from God is not on you to carry out. Okay? You do not need to or have the ability to carry out justice and vengeance on someone else. That belongs to God, that his goodness will reign over everything. And so forgiveness in forgiving someone else is trusting God to handle all of that and forgiving them in your heart. So there's a prayer that we love to say here at Watermark, and I want you to follow along with me. If there is someone in your heart that you feel like you need to forgive, follow along with me in this prayer, okay? It says right here, I think we'll have it on the screen, potentially. Nope, we don't. Just listen to me. It says, God, I have been hurt by blank. You fill in the answer, fill in the blank there. I believe you care about my pain, so I am asking for comfort and healing. I know that I am a sinner and that my sins deserve punishment. You forgave me through Jesus Christ, so I choose to forgive blank. I trust you and surrender my desire for justice and vengeance to you. Help me to know your love more intensely and to share your love with blank. So if there's someone in your heart that you feel like you need to forgive, it is a conversation between you and the Lord that you would trust God with vengeance and justice, that you would forgive them in your heart, that it is not on you to carry out vengeance and justice. And the second thing we need to do is make amends. Making amends is between you and another person. You and the person that you have wronged, that amends, the definition for this is doing your part to repair the damage of sin. That you would reach out to somebody and that you would make amends, that you would do your part to ask for forgiveness from someone else. That you would accept that I know that I have done something wrong, that you would ask for forgiveness, that you would apologize, and that you would change the way that you have treated them. So making amends looks like doing your part to seek forgiveness from someone else, to help repair the damage that you may have caused with your sin. And so those two things, remember those as you continue on in your life, that you would seek to forgive and that you would seek to make amends so that you can live at peace with all people. Back to our story, when we tore down that wall in the middle of our two spaces, our two holes right there, we tore down the wall and it helped us to create a bigger hole that we could sit in, that we could enjoy the shade of, that we could enjoy the company of one another. We could even dig it further. So as you continue on in your life, if you feel stuck in a relationship that you can't move on, that you are doing the same thing over and over again, it's hard and you're getting nowhere. Our hope for you is that you would, like this picture again, we'll throw it back on the screen, like this picture, that you would break down the wall and that you would enjoy the community of others. As we live, we over me. You can take it down again, Mark. Thanks. Pray with me as we go today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the community of people and believers that you have placed around us. God, we thank you for the forgiveness that you have given us in our lives that we do not deserve. God, we are thankful for Jesus and what he has done on the cross for our sins, that you have made a way for us to live at peace with you, that our relationship with you would be made right because of what Jesus has done and not what we do. God, I pray that we would know in our hearts that we are forgiven, that we have the freedom to forgive. God, and I pray that we would see freedom in our relationships, that there would be peace in our relationships as we go in our daily lives. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.